Welcome to Running, the Municipal Election Candidate Forum hosted by Michael Carey. Tonight we'll meet the candidates for the Anchorage School Board and review the 9 area-wide ballot propositions. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 7 when Running will introduce the candidates for Anchorage Mayor. Now, here's Michael Carey.
Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us. We have many, many candidates for the school board here tonight, and so a few housekeeping matters as we get started. Each candidate will have a minute of her opening statement, 30 seconds to close, and in between for about 6 minutes, Len Anderson of KSK, who's with me in the studio, reporter, their Metro reporter, and I will be asking questions. Let's meet our first panel. These are running at large for Seat B, Mia Costello, Steve Pratt, and Jeannie Mackey. Let's start with Mia Costello, your opening statement of 1 minute, please.
Thank you. Well, good evening. My name is Mia Costello, and I'm a candidate for School Board Seat B. I was adopted by my parents in Anchorage, and I was raised here. I went to West High School and was the first generation of my family to go to college, and I attended Harvard University. I then returned to Alaska and worked in the executive and legislative branches of government. I then returned to school and received my master's in teaching from the University of Alaska Southeast. I've taught in the Juneau School District and the Anchorage School District. I'm a nationally recognized high school teacher because I was able to engage students with real-world lessons. I currently work 3 evenings a week with students who've dropped out of the Anchorage high schools, and I hear firsthand from those students why they've left our schools. And I feel that it's through real-world lessons and engaging students that we can improve the results in our schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mia Costello. Len Anderson with the first question from Ms. Costello.
Yes, Mia, I was intrigued with your teaching at 9-Star and working with at-risk students. The district has a number of alternative schools for at-risk students. Is there a point where money spent on at-risk student programs puts at risk the finances available for the average and above average student? The reason I ask is because Carol Como on occasions has tried to describe that balance.
Well, I appreciate the question. Many students in the at-risk programs receive the same funding that students do in the regular programs. And I know that when we improve education for all students through training for teachers and supporting teachers, allowing teachers to work together to create units that engage students, those students are more interested in school, they're supported better, the parents have less individuals to contact to find out how their students are doing, and we will see improved results when we engage students in the classroom. Those programs for at-risk students are very important, and we do need to serve those students, but I think that we can do it within the budget that we have now.
Thank you very much. My turn to ask a question. How would you rank the district's effort to provide safe schools, not necessarily cutting down on gangs, but just in general?
Well, I'm very concerned about the safety of our schools. Several of the students that I serve at 9-Star as a coach have told me personally that they have left our schools because they were bullied by other students. I don't think that we do a good job making our schools safe. And again, when we make improvements in our schools, such as allowing the community to come in and be meaningful partners in the classroom, when there's more community involvement that way, I think that and our schools seem smaller when teachers work together and share the same students. Those kinds of improvements will make our schools safer, and it's something that, if elected to the school board, that would be a priority for me.
Len Anderson.
These are somewhat uneasy economic times, and should on the board you have to take out a paring knife, where would you look to slice?
Well, first of all, I feel very strongly that we can improve results without spending more money. The students that I have taught in several districts, some of those students were able to do 3-week job shadows in the community. They built a skateboard park as a school project to solve a problem. They testified live on public television in a mock House Finance Committee meeting in the legislature. And so those students were engaged. And we are getting results. As far as taking out the paring knife, I think that the resources need to be in the classroom helping teachers serve students. And I would look at the administration and the large bureaucracy that we have.
Thank you. Now it's my turn to ask a question. What is the major weakness of the current board in your judgment?
I think a weakness that I find on the board is that there's a willingness to try any program that might have results, that we're going to pilot something that we think may have good results for kids. I would be the kind of board member that would want to pursue programs that we know work. There are two states, Connecticut and Rhode Island, that have been able to, New Jersey, that have been able to improve dropout rates. They have the lowest dropout rate in the country. And they were able to do it by teaming, having teachers team together and mentoring teachers and also providing, training for teachers so that they could develop lessons that engage students. So that's the kind of board member that I would be.
Thank you. Len Anderson.
We're caught in a federal mandate and followed by the state as well. But are we teaching too much to satisfy the No Child Left Behind? Are we killing creativity or putting your at-risk students at more risk? Mm-hmm.
I do think that the concept behind No Child Left Behind is a good one. That being said, I think we are seeing that there are large inadequacies that the legislation has. And I find that any time there's a blanket solution to local problems that you don't allow for local input in the solutions. So overall, I think that we need to work with our congressional delegation to allow teachers more flexibility. I do think that teachers know best and, given that flexibility that we could serve our students really well.
Okay. In about 45 seconds, what basics would you want an Anchorage High School graduate to know for certain?
Okay. Well, as you may know, the Alaska State Content Standards were developed with input from all members of the community. And as a former classroom teacher, those standards provide the blueprint for what we want our students to know when they leave school. We want them to be productive citizens in a changing world. And that means that they need to be able to perform and communicate well, write, read well, understand math, and work in our society. And I think that by increasing vocational education and providing those opportunities for all students, even those headed to college.
I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry, but we have about 30 seconds for your closing statement.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, my name is Mia Costello. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I'm a nationally recognized high school teacher. I currently am working with students who've dropped out of the Anchorage High School. I'm a dedicated education professional, and I would be very honored to serve Anchorage as a member of the school board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mia Costello. Steve Pratt is another candidate for seat B. Steve, please, your opening statement.
Thank you. Thank you, KAKM, for having this, giving us this opportunity to address the people of the community. I am I've been an economist for about 30 years. That's what I bring to the district. I'm not a professional educator. In 2002, I started my own economic consulting firm that gave me a little bit of flexibility in my schedule. And because I have done a lot of work with youth over the years, I've been a Special Olympics counselor. I've been a junior achievement mentor. I've been a sports basketball, baseball coach. I got interested in the school district, started to substitute teach throughout the district, and then I was on two of the budget review teams, and that kind of gave me an opportunity to dig my fingernails a little bit into the budgeting process, and I looked at how the school district is allocating resources, and that's what I hope to bring to the school district is an economist's view of looking at opportunity costs in terms of how we allocate resources. I'm very concerned right now with a weakening economy and increasing property taxes that the community is going to lose its passion for investing in education. And I'm hoping that we can keep that passion alive by convincing the community that we are using our resources wisely, and that we are allocating them to the for the best interest of our kids and for the community at large.
Thank you very much, Steve Pratt. Now we'll go to Len Anderson of KSK for the first question.
Well, picking up on that theme, is the school budget too large or is it too small? I'll let you choose the perspective from the taxpayer or from the educator.
That's a good question. Right now the school budget is $760 million. It's increased significantly over the past 4 or 5 years. It's actually increased at quite a faster rate than nationwide school districts with about 50,000 students. A lot of that had to do with the PERS, TERS, and some other things. In terms of, I think that turns out to be about $15,500 per student. Is it too big? Is it too little? I really can't answer that directly, but what I can tell you is that we don't have anybody on the school district right now that is asking questions about opportunity costs and resource allocation. Mia mentioned this, that when programs come up, they never balance things out and say, what do we want to give up to implement this program? All they do is just add new programs, and that's one of the things I'd really like to take a look at. And maybe the measuring stick is to say, do we want to spend money here, or do we want to hire another second grade teacher? And there's a couple of examples maybe that I can give you. Right now in the legislature, there's HB 33 and SB 102. What those would do, those are actually priorities of the school district right now that they've asked for. And what those would do is increase the mandatory school attendance age from 16 to 18. There are no outs for like getting a GED, et cetera. And my concern there is that we'd be populating our schools with kids who are bound and determined that they don't want to be there for whatever reason. There's no doubt that a high school diploma is in the best interest of every child. But if they're bound and determined that they're not going to do that, I'm not sure that the wisest thing is to force them into the classroom and increase classroom management problems, decrease the educational experience for their peers. And there's a $16 million fiscal note on that bill. And I'm just wondering if we wouldn't be better off in terms of dropout rates and everything long term to take that $16 million and hire another 300 second grade teachers to really nip that thing in the bud. That way we get 10 years of benefits for those same dollars. And that's the kind of analysis that I would do on the school board. Those are the kind of questions that I would ask. That's kind of an example of how I would approach things.
Thank you. Mr. Pratt, I believe on any given day in the school year, about 20% of Anchorage is in a school, either as a student or a teacher. How well do you think the citizens, the voters in general, understand the district policies, programs, cost, the general run of important questions?
You know, when my kids, I've got two girls that graduated from the Anchorage School District. I'm hoping to have maybe grandchildren come into the district later, but I'm not sure that there's that much of a community engagement now as there was when my kids were growing up. When my kids were growing up, about 60-some percent of the households in Anchorage had children in the public school system. And, bonds flew through. Everybody kind of had stake in the game. And now it's kind of flipped where I think the last numbers that I saw, about 62% of the households in the community do not have kids in the school district. And that's a challenge, convincing people what's in it for me. And what's in it for you is that education is an important thing to provide. It's a gift that we give all of our kids. It helps businesses. It helps the community. It's an investment on behalf of the community. Parents that are engaged, the school district is very good at opening the schools, and parents or even citizens that want to come in and talk to principals, talk to schools, they're very good about having an open-door policy and talking about the various programs. But overall, I'm not sure that we have total engagement.
Len Anderson.
Something that comes up with every budget period at the district, when they get into the transportation costs, it never seems to be enough money for all the changing routes. Are we spending too much on pupil transportation? And if we are, how do we avoid it?
I've thought a little bit about that, and I can't tell you, I'm not a traffic engineer, So I'm not really sure, but I do know this, and it kind of gets back to best business practices in the district. One of the things that happened last year when fuel prices around the world escalated significantly, and the school district had to come up with another $550,000 to pay for the increased costs of fuel. One of the things that I've suggested that we look at in terms of best business practices is maybe we want to start hedging our fuel out for 3 years while prices are low right now. That may be something that we can do to prevent those shocks to the system. In terms of overall transportation, I really haven't analyzed it, so I can't give you a real definitive answer about how we might rearrange that.
Mr. Pratt, let's go to your closing statement of about 30 seconds.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for tuning in. Again, my name is Steve Pratt. My website is voteforstevepratt.com. Again, I'm not a professional educator. What I bring to the district is resource allocation skills, and what I intend to do on the school board is to listen to professional educators, to talk to teachers, talk to principals, find out what resources they need, and make sure that we reallocate resources to do the greatest good in the district. One of the things that and I'd really like to move more resources into the K-4 programs also.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Yep.
Pratt.
Thank you.
We have to move along. Jeannie Mackey, you have 1 minute for an opening statement, and then we'll do questions.
Hi, thank you for having us this evening, and I appreciate those of you tuning in at home. My name is Jeannie Mackey. I have three young children in school here in the Anchorage School District. I earned my bachelor's degree in elementary education right here at the University of Alaska. My family is customers of this district right now. I believe in the value of our public education system, and I believe all of our children have the right to a good education, no matter what their zip code is, what their ethnicity is, or their socioeconomic status. A couple of my priorities on the school board would be to attract and keep our good teachers. A quality teacher is even more important than a small class size. Research shows this, and I believe that we really need to do better in that here in Anchorage. I also would like to continue to work towards ways of meeting the needs of our 51% ethnically diverse student population. It continues to be very troubling to me that our dropout rate is disproportionately minority students. I will be a dedicated member of the school board, and I would commit to treating this job as the equivalent of at least a half-time job or more.
Thank you very much. Len Anderson.
This might tie in with what you were saying about the 51%. Are our high schools too big to be effective learning environments? Whether you're coming in from the bush or coming in from the hillside, for that matter, are they too big? And if so, what would you do to make them smaller or more effective since we paid for the large high schools?
Well, first of all, I grew up in a very small community here in Alaska. I grew up in Nenana, and I came to college here at the University of Alaska, and I know how it felt for me personally coming in from a small town and coming into the big city of Anchorage, and it was overwhelming. I know that not all children have that same experience, but we do have a lot of kids coming in from rural areas, and I sense that they would have that same experience. Our high schools are too large. They're very big. But there's nothing we can do about that in the immediate future as far as the size of our schools. What we can do is figure out ways of making it seem smaller for our students. And actually, we already are doing those things in many schools. I've been visiting high schools and middle schools as well as elementary schools. But one thing that they are doing at the high school level is separating them out. Each school has a little bit different way that they do it, but they do have pods or separate areas where teachers will work with one group of students and in their core subjects. And so I think that has been valuable, but we need to do better.
Okay, I'll ask a question. We've heard complaints about duplications of services between the municipality and the school district. Is there any way to unify services?
That's actually one of my favorite commercials on TV right now, between two of our mayoral candidates. And I'm not real certain about what the answer would be for that. We do need, I think, to have our own separate services. There probably are ways that we could combine things and not duplicate. I'm sure there are ways of making it more efficient. That's not something that I have personally looked at, so I don't have a better answer.
Thank you. Lynn Anderson.
Well, as you go to face the voters, maybe they ask some form of this question one way or the other. How do we, as taxpayers, know we're getting our money out of the district?
Well, around election time, especially when we're voting on bonds, we often hear a lot of things about the budget, the Anchorage School District budget, which is a large budget. I think a lot of times we're fed by different viewpoints. Some of them are based on fact. Some aren't. Some of it's driven by emotion. And we all want to know that we are getting the biggest bang for our buck. One thing that I do know is that the budget process is very extensive. It's ongoing. There is plenty of opportunity for input from people in the community, parents, educators, students. And I'm not at liberty to say whether I think the budget is too large or too small. I really do think that I trust in the process, and in a budget of this size, though, I do know that there are ways to make it more efficient, and those are things that I would want to look at as a board member.
Thank you. Many of the candidates, perhaps even most of them, are advocates for more technical and vocational education, but many of those programs are expensive. Where would the money come from to improve our technical and vocational ed?
Well, that's a good question. It is definitely something that has a lot of interest right now in improving our voc ed. It's a way that is being looked at as keeping kids in school. As far as where the money would come from, of course, most of our budget is comprised of state money. Also, I think that federal funding would be the place that those funds would come from.
Thank you. Lynn Anderson.
Do you intend to vote for the two school board propositions, and why?
I do intend on voting for the two school bonds. I'm supporting the bonds. I have visited the different areas. I went through Service High School, and they really do need the help there. That process, again, was a very large ongoing process with plenty of opportunity from the community, which I think that they got, and I don't think it was taken lightly. I think it's very important that we maintain our facilities and that our facilities are up to date for 21st century learning for our students. And I feel that if there's anything that is important to invest in, and it is our children and our education, and I will be supporting the bonds.
We have about 35 seconds for your closing statement, please.
Well, it was a big honor for me to be selected to fill the vacant board seat in February. And I'd like to continue working and serving the community in this capacity. I know that my role is to act in the interests of the entire school community, and I will be a good listener. I keep an open mind. I will work as a team player. And, I'm a taxpayer, too, and I have kids in school, and they will be in school here for a long time, and I understand the importance of this job.
Thank you very much, Jeannie Mackey.